Waiting. Have you ever sent a message and then become restless as you wait for the reply? It's like when that text message gets sent and you can't put your phone down because you're so anxious for the response. Most of us human beings are not good at waiting, and I count myself in that group. Perhaps like me, when you get ready for a party or an event, you're ready at least an hour before, like me, and then I pace around not knowing what to do with myself for the rest of the time while I wait. And yet, early 20th century Jewish mystic Simon Weil says, "Waiting patiently in expectation, it is the foundation of the spiritual life." Waiting patiently in expectation. You know, wandering in the wilderness and waiting is part of our heritage as followers of this way. Whether we like it or not, it's actually in our new DNA. The Israelite nation were rescued out of Egypt only to wander for many years, a generation and some, before finally arriving. And that arrival only lasted a few kingdoms, and then they were traipsing back through the wilderness into exile in Babylon. It seems that we have inherited a faith tradition that waits. But that's just the Old Testament language, you might argue. Well, actually, no. That is precisely where we pick up today's text. John the Baptist is in the wilderness again. And the word of God came to him. Now, to set the scene, Luke, who is known as traditionally the author of this gospel, uses a technique that we now call synchronicity. Synchronicity, writing about the simultaneous occurrences of events that appear significantly related, but there is no discernible causal connection between them. Luke begins the section by naming powerful people who hold political and religious office. These are influences of the time. And into the mix, he throws in John, son of a priest, Zechariah. Now, none of these people whose names and places they rule are hard to pronounce. None of them are connected yet. Yet. But this paranormal reality known as synchronicity defies logic, it defies science, because God's word comes to John. And soon, the synagogue leaders and high priests, the city officials, the leading women, ship captains, imperial guards, governors, kings, and the emperor himself will hear this prophet's cry and will hear the good news of forgiveness. You see, the author of Luke also authored the book of Acts. And so this cry in the wilderness, my friends, is just the beginning. I wonder how long John waited in the wilderness. Waiting for a word, waiting for something to say, waiting for just that right mix of timing and resources and people and words and anticipation to come together. And then he acts, he goes, he announces, he baptizes, and he has a word to cry out. And next week, we will look at the words that John cries out. But today, let us pause a moment at the scene of waiting in the wilderness, John's preparation before the word comes. I'm really grateful for the Catholic spirituality teacher and author, Henry Nouwen, because he writes on the spirituality of waiting. And for Nouwen, waiting is not passive. Thank goodness. I'm such an action-oriented person. Sometimes waiting feels counterproductive. But Nouwen reflects on waiting and teaches us that it is active. Waiting is preparation. While we wait, we prepare ourselves. We train our senses. We train our minds. We train our bodies to slow down and experience the moment that already is full. When I am alone and I am waiting, I get anxious. And I start to anticipate and imagine up a storm for the future. And I start to reflect on the past and I go over all those memories. And I miss the moment and the fullness of that moment that I am in. Moments are pregnant with possibility and potential. And every moment is a movement forward from something to something more. Waiting is active. Sometimes when I'm waiting for the bus, as I do when I try to go back into Vancouver and miss the bridge traffic, and the bus is late, I feel helpless because suddenly I'm in someone else's hands and I just have to sit there. And I say, I am just waiting. There is no such thing as just waiting. For what we know from our scriptures about waiting is that in the place we are, growing on the ground where we are already standing, something is happening. A seed has been planted and something is beginning in this very moment. The word patience really means the willingness to stay where we are. And when it is a hard place, we talk about long suffering. When it is a good place and we want to keep it and hold it and not move on, we stay. And we wait for each moment to unfold into the next one, staying where we are. And so in our waiting, we prepare ourselves and train ourselves to see each moment as full and not empty. And in our waiting, we prepare ourselves by actively giving up control. And that's the hard one. Waiting is open ended, which means we do not know the end. Open-ended. And it's hard because we wish for things, we long for things, we imagine for things. I wish the weather would be better. And of course, we have a sunnyscape in our minds about what we'd like it to be. I wish this pain would go away, and we imagine a pain-free existence. A lot of our waiting is not open-ended because we supply the end in our imaginations. And Henry Nouwen invites us in our active waiting to give up control of the end. A radically different attitude toward life beyond our own imaginings. Releasing control and letting God define our steps forward. That is the action of waiting. So while John the Baptist is in the wilderness, waiting, preparing himself, the word of God comes to him. It sounds so easy, doesn't it? The word of God comes to John the Baptist. How many of you have sat waiting for a word to write down, even on a Christmas card to somebody, or in a short story, or in a sermon week after week. The waiting can be excruciating. And the passage that is quoted from Isaiah chapter 40 begins, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." But the part that Luke leaves out is the last verse where Isaiah says, a voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry?" And I wonder if that was what John was facing as he wandered. A child of promise, and yet waiting for these words. Prophets, poets, preachers, teachers, we all have this burning to write, to speak, but words don't come easy. We wait for the muse, we wait for that spirit that creates, that sparks, that speaks. Author Stephen Pressfield calls this internal process the war of art. It is like a war inside. Waiting for words can be excruciating. Poet Scott Cairns writes, "This passage from Isaiah, 'What shall I cry?' is my unceasing prayer. Compelled to give witness, I ache to find the right words." Anne Lamott, in her great book called Bird by Bird, writes about her writing. And if you haven't read Annie Lamott, she's fantastic. Find her books. On page 6, a student asks her, "But how? How do you actually find the words?" She says, "You sit down. You try to sit down at approximately the same time every day. You sit down. You put a piece of paper in the typewriter or turn on your computer and bring up the right file, and you stare at it for an hour or so. And then you start rocking, just a little at first. And then, like someone who looks like they're going crazy, you keep rocking. You look at the ceiling, over at the clock, you yawn, you stare at the paper again, and then your fingers poise at the keyboard, and you squint at the image forming in your mind, and you try to quiet your mind from the voices. For there are other voices. She calls them banshees and drunken monkeys. They're the voices of anxiety and judgment and doom and guilt and also hypochondria, she says. While I'm sitting, there's this vague pain in the base of my neck, and it crosses my mind that I might have meningitis. Then the phone rings, and I look at the ceiling with fury, summon every ounce of oblige, and I answer the call politely with a hint of irritation, and they ask, "Are you working?" And I say, "Yes, I am." Because somewhere in the face of all this, of waiting, a space clears. And her writing voice comes. And she hacks away at the others and composes a sentence, a bead of a story, so desperate to communicate. And she writes at the end, "You cannot will this to happen. It is a matter of persistence, of faith, and of hard work." We wait, we ache, and we actively prepare for what is to come. For waiting is preparation. It is seeing each moment as full. It is giving up control. It is surrendering to the word that will come. In our waiting, as Annie Lamott beautifully describes, there is this painful awareness of ourselves. And often there is awareness of others in our lives who need our compassion and forgiveness. For how will we, like John, be a voice for good in our world? How will we speak of turning toward the light, of forgiveness, if our hearts are unprepared? While we wait, it may seem like nothing is happening. But when we wait in trust and surrender, everything is happening. Our internal valleys of bitterness or anger or unforgiveness or self-loathing are being raised. Our internal mountains of ego and self-aggrandizement are being leveled. And at just the right mix of timing, resources, people, words, and anticipation, the fruit of our waiting will be the way of Christ. Amen.